Thank you very much. It's good to be here again tonight in New Cumnock to bring God's word to you. Interesting that we're using in our opening reading an old book. This old book is different from all other books in the world because this book is the Word of God. It is absolutely reliable and we can totally depend on it. And tonight I just want to read with you a portion from the third book in the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible, you can just sit and listen. We're reading in Luke's Gospel chapter 15. Luke's Gospel chapter 15. Now this is the most important part of the meeting. Because you see, God has promised to bless His Word. He hasn't promised to bless mine. He's promised to bless His Word. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eats with them." And He spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after what is lost, until he find it? And when he has found it, he lays on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which have no need of no repentance. Either, what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, she calls to her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, I found the piece which I have lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy of to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I am sure that the world's media is focused on one particular event in our world today. A great rescue attempt is being undergone in Chile, where 33 miners have been trapped in a mine for almost 2 months. Started on the 5th of August, And it wasn't until 17 days later that news reached the surface that the men hadn't perished, but that they were still down the mine. And 33 of them were all safe and well. Remarkable. And that began a mercy rescue mission which has kept the world on its toes. And I think everybody is just waiting expectantly to see the first miner come up from that mine. When the commentators make comments about it, they'll say, this is perhaps one of the greatest rescue missions that's ever been undertaken. Well, that may be true in a natural way. I want to tell you tonight, a greater mission was accomplished 2,000 years ago at a place called Calvary. That mission had been going on for a long time. God looked down upon men and women, and he saw that they were separated from him because of their sins. And God enacted a rescue mission that people who were separated from him might be saved, might be delivered from their sin. You know, what thrills me tonight is that although you may not think yourself important, you might think yourself a nobody in here. You might think that nobody really cares for you or is interested in you. I want to tell you tonight, God's interested in you. And the angels are interested in you. And you know what would happen if you came in here a stranger to God, still in your sins, and tonight in this hall, you knelt before God, and you repented of your sins, and you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, do you know what would happen? There would be great joy among the angels. You see, angels interested in me? Yes. God interested in me? Yes. He is interested in the affairs of every individual soul in this gathering. And God has gone to great lengths that nobody perish. We cannot blame God if we stand before the great white throne and we're sentenced to be separated from God forever. We can never blame God because he has gone to great lengths to reach and to save us. These men down in that underground shelter, no expense has been concerned about by the people who have been doing it. I wouldn't like to estimate the cost involved in the people involved in that rescue mission. But I want to tell you, there was a greater cost for you and I to be saved. God sent his only son to die on a cross. We're reading tonight about a parable. Now, it's actually one story. It's just one parable. Some people get the impression it's three stories. It's not, it's just one story. Because it says the Lord Jesus Christ spoke a parable to the people that came to hear him. Who were the people that were attracted to the Lord Jesus? The scribes and the Pharisees? No. It says the tax gatherers and the sinners came to hear him. You know these people, you know what they were saying in their hearts? I have a need. I know I can't meet that need. I need to get my life sorted out. I feel that there's only one person that can sort my problems. And that person is the Lord Jesus. So they willingly They streamed towards the Lord Jesus. He was that drawing power. In fact, one of the gospel writers says, they came to him from every quarter. The old came to him. The young came to him. The sick came to him. The well came to him. The religious came to him. The irreligious came to him. They came to Christ from every corner, from every quarter. Maybe you're here tonight, and you're a stranger to God, and you're a stranger to Christ because your sins have separated you from God. Now, these miners are down in the bowels of the earth. They're only 600 odd meters down. And that rescue mission has taken quite a while to reach them. But think of the extent that God went to when he sent his Son from heaven to this earth. I don't know the distance, but I do know that up there are stars that are light years away. And God is beyond that in heaven. And God sent his Son all of that distance, that he might come down up to this earth and travel all the way to Calvary because he loves me and he was willing to die for me. Yes, here was this man, and he's standing in front of these scribes and Pharisees, and they were actually questioning the fact that he's actually associating himself. This man receiveth sinners and eats with them. Imagine, sits in their homes, goes to where they are, seeks to reach them in their need. How wonderful it is we have a Savior like that. My dear friend, tonight, no matter who you are, you might be someone that maybe have got away from God, dabbled in sin to the deepest degree. It doesn't matter how far away from God a person is. Thank God, they can come back to him and trust in him as their Savior. So he tells us three stories, all with the same common denominator. They were all lost. They were all lost. The sheep, it was lost hopelessly. It couldn't find its way back to its shepherd. It was away out in the meadows, thinking that maybe the grass was greener in the other fields. So like sheep, it wandered away. Wandered away from the shepherd, from the care of the shepherd. And because it wandered away from the shepherd, it was lost to the shepherd. You see, something had come between the sheep and the shepherd. And that sheep was hopelessly lost. That sheep did not know how to get back to the shepherd. I remember seeing a similar experience when we were on holiday one year. We were sitting down on the beach and we saw a little boy passing. He was maybe about 4 years old, with a pail and a spade, and he was quite happy, and he was walking along with his pail and his spade. They were swinging it. He had a care in the world. He just kept walking and walking and walking. It seemed to us that that little boy was lost, but he wasn't aware of it. And we had a similar experience this year in one of the agricultural shows. You know, when sometimes these farmers get involved in watching the demonstrations and watching all of the jumping and all of the judging, they're just engrossed in that. This wee fella, about 5 years old, I could see him wandering about, and then he was moving further and further away from the main ring. I ran over to him. I said, "Where's your mum and where's your dad?" He looked up at me and said, "I don't know." I said, "What's your name?" So he told me his name. So I took him to one of the conveners of the the ring, and I said to him, and they put it over the tannoy, and very quickly I could see a desperate couple racing towards the wee boy to be restored. You see, that wee boy was hopelessly lost. He didn't know he was lost, because he was at a distance from his parents. And what brought that little boy back together? Someone else sought to rescue him. Maybe I'm talking to someone tonight, and you're just like that. You're lost, but you're not aware of it. And you can't get back to the shepherd. You can't get back to the Savior. But thank God, we've got a wonderful message to tell you. The shepherd went looking for that sheep that was lost. And he didn't stop looking until he found the sheep that was lost. That's the wonder of God's care and God's concern for men and women. God sent a shepherd. That shepherd was the Lord Jesus. Do you know what he said? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the Savior came in order that men and women might not be lost. But I'll tell you something else. God sent his Holy Spirit into the world to convict men and women of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And sometimes if you are uncomfortable in a meeting like this, don't blame the preacher. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. He wants men to be convicted of their sin. So sad it is when people come to Christ with an easy believism. Oh, that there might be a true repentance in people's lives. That people might repent of their sin and receive God's Son as their Savior. Well, that sheep just was so thrilled when the shepherd reached that sheep, put it on his shoulders, and carried it back to the fold. My, he joined with his friends. They were rejoicing. Oh, they were rejoicing. He wasn't thinking about the 99 that were safe. It was the one that was lost. My, there could be 99 in here that are all safe and well. They can look back to a moment in their lives when they've trusted in Christ. But God is interested in that one that's lost. You might just be that one. And he wants to bring to you his salvation. The second story is centered on a little piece of coin. And that little piece of coin was saved unconsciously. Didn't know it was lost. Wasn't aware it was lost. It was lying there in the darkness. It was just lying on its own. But the woman who had the coins, usually in the Middle East and Ethiopia as well, they oftentimes give them an engagement present, and it's 10 coins. And so that one coin that was lost was one out of the 10. That meant that the woman was maybe irresponsible or even unfaithful. And she was so concerned that that coin that was lost should be found. It's in the dark. I don't know how these men have fared down the pit all of these 2 months almost. And perhaps the darkness and them trying to save the light that they've got in order that they might be able to have some during the day or whatever. But they're down there in the darkness. And my dear friend in the meeting tonight, I want to tell you, if you never accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll go out from this world and you'll go into what the Bible says, the blackness of darkness forever, separated from God, living in a place called hell, forever and ever and ever. But God does not desire that any should perish. Not one soul from the beginning right to the front of this meeting, right to the back. God does not want any soul to be lost, to be in the dark. He wants you to move into the light because He's in the light. And He wants you to come from that darkness to Christ. The first story was about 100 sheep. And one was lost. 99 were safe. The second story is 10 pieces of 10 coins. And one was lost. And the others were safe. And she sought diligently. Oh, she looked in every cranny. She looked in every corner. We don't like things that are lost, do we? I remember having a special pocket knife. And I lost it. And you know the extent I went to try and find this knife. Where was it? I looked in all the places that normally I'd have thought it might have been. Wasn't there. And then finally, one day when I was looking and somewhere I wasn't expecting it to be, it was right down at the very bottom of one of their cushioned chairs. And it just slipped out of my pocket. Slipped down into the side there and just lay there. Lay there for those months. Until it was found. But this third story is not 101 being lost. And it's not 10 and 1 being lost. It's two. Two. Two sons and one was lost. Ah, but this son was lost deliberately. It was lost. He was lost deliberately. He wanted to go into the far country. He wanted to be as far away from his father as possible. He wanted to go further and further away. The further the better. I would judge he had been brought up well. He could think of better days. He could think of maybe influences in the home that he really didn't want to have in his own life. He wanted to go his own way. And his father would say, I want you to go this way. And he would say, no, I want to go that way. I want to have my own will. I want to do my own thing. I want to take my own life. I want to travel in my own way. Please, give me what is for me. Your inheritance, when you die, you know, why not give it to me ahead of time? His old father really loved him. And he gave him what really belonged to him. And off he went. He lived it up. Oh, what a lifestyle he lived. He got further and further into a wicked way of life. It seemed to be what some of the people in the world call really living. But very soon that boy who was away in the world knew that it didn't satisfy. And there are many people who take the road that the prodigal son took, for that's what the story is called. Or that's how it's referred to. But they don't take the road back. They stay in the far country and die in the far country. They die far away from God and far away from Christ. Their life a moral mess. Ah, this particular son, he's in the wilderness. He really enjoyed his lifestyle for a very short time. He amalgamated many friends who helped to spend his money. And then when he had nothing, his friends left him. He was left on his own. And all that he could do was be farmed out to a farmer to feed pigs. You can't get much lower than that. And as he sat there, he was so hungry that he would quite happily have eaten the things that were being fed to the pigs. You say, can you get as low as that? Oh, yes. I'm sure there are many folks in our world tonight, and there are folks in New Cumnock tonight, and maybe even folks in this hall tonight, and you've reached that all-time low. Thank God. There's a way back to God. From the dark paths of sin, there's a door that is open that all may begin. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Suddenly this man comes to his senses. He realizes for the very first time, my life has been wasted. My life has been spoiled. When I think about my old father's house and all the blessings that even the servants have, they are better off than I am. I know what I'll do. I'll go back. And I'll say to my father, I've sinned against heaven. And I've sinned against you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me like a hired servant. It must have been very difficult for him to take that step. Really wondering what reaction he would find if he made his way back to his father's home. Hugh Walker was the black sheep of the family a number of years ago. He spent his Sundays by the side of the River Clyde playing cards and possibly getting rid of most of his salary. Occasionally he went to the gospel and he listened to the message of the gospel by a man called John Ferguson. And when he stood in that, sat in that hall that night, here's what John Ferguson said. There's maybe someone in this hall tonight who prayed and who heard his dying father say, will you meet me in heaven? Hugh Walker was thrown immediately back to years before. His old father was dying. Old father was a believer. And they gathered his friends. He's gathered his family in before him. And he spoke to every single child in his family. And he left them with one question. Will you meet me in heaven? And of course they all said, of course, Father, we'll meet you in heaven. But Hugh Walker knew that he wasn't ready to meet God. He wasn't ready for heaven. The preacher had reached his heart like nothing else had done. But he wanted to blop it out of his mind. And so from the Sunday night, on the Monday night, he went to the Empire Theatre. And the curtains opened. And Harry Lauder was there, sitting by a fireside, dressed as a miner, and looking out at the people, and here's what he said. It's 10 long, weary years, and still I seem to see my father there upon the chair, with a Bible on his knee. The day my father died, and left this world of sin, a father was a saint down here. My father was the inn. He ran out of the theatre that night. God had convicted him deeply of his sin. He ran home. He got down on his knees. He confessed his sin. And Hugh Walker that night received God's Son as his Savior. The prodigal, he's thinking about his old father. Totally different values from what he had. He wondered as he moved along that road back to the old homestead, how would his father feel? How would he react? Would he say, you were given your inheritance, you left of your own accord, you've sown your wild oats, you'll reap what you've sown? He could have said of all of these things. But what he discovered, as he walked back towards that homestead, with a different kind of step from what he had left, he had left with that game wood, plenty of money in his pocket, almost the world at his feet. Now he's coming back. And before he gets near the homestead, he sees someone running towards him. Imagine, it was the father who had been looking out every morning. And he was saying to himself, perhaps today he'll come. Perhaps today he'll come, my lost son. He'll maybe come back tonight. Maybe come back today. And he went down the road one day and he suddenly sees someone coming towards him. It's him. He's different, but he's coming. And the father ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son blurted out, Father, I've sinned against God and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. You can hear the father shouting to one of his servants, bring the fatted calf. Bring the best robe. Bring shoes for his feet. This son was lost, but he's been found. He was dead and he's alive. And he began to be glad to be merry. My dear friend tonight, what joy would take place in this hall. What joy there would be in the heart of the Father. What joy there would be in the heart of the Savior. What joy there would be in the heart of the angels if someone tonight cried, I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. I'm willing to repent of my sins. I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. I want to come to God. I want to be rid of my sins. I want Jesus Christ to become my Savior. That person could be you tonight. He wants you to come to him. Confess your sin to him like this man did. And receive God's Son as your Savior. Shall we pray?